We're teaching on longevity. It's really the subject we're looking into, but the titles that we're this is under is Divine Healing. And the reason we're doing that, well, number one, the Holy Spirit instructed me to, but there's really an importance. I'm going to be teaching and talking about things that some of it you may have heard, but over time as I teach this, I'm going to teach things about healing. I will guarantee you there's many of you never heard. There's a lot that's really not said or taught, and we're going to be teaching some things. Some things are things that I was taught by others. Some things there's God give me revelation on a scripture, but we want to look at the scriptures. But if we're going to walk in the areas of divine healing, and you need to understand we're covering, and what I'm teaching about is divine healing. There's a difference between divine healing and going to the doctor and believing God. There's a difference. Jesus Christ, in one of his appearances to Kenneth Hagin, talked to him about it. He said to him, divine healing is healing without any natural aid or anything at all. You're just believing God. And what we want to understand is this is a target to shoot at. This is something to shoot at. The church today has set such a low level, and you need to understand this about yourself, whether you want to believe it or not. If you set your level, wherever you set your level at, you'll probably usually hit below that. So if you set your level low, you're going to go lower yet. And the church has a healing level, and I'm most of the major ministries that teach on healing, their healing level's about that high. They mostly minister, trying to minister to the person who ain't going nowhere spiritually. And they keep trying, and they never take the people who want to go somewhere, go, because when you talk about certain things, the carnal Christians get offended. They don't like to be touched, so they don't ever get touched in the church. And the person who wants to go further never gets to go further. That's the system. So it keeps people as babies. It keeps people down where they can't go. You know, when I heard about divine healing and I turned and heard about those things, I wanted to shoot for something better. Look, there's no target for anything better to shoot at. You know, where are you going to go? I mean, you need to understand that. And there's too much low level stuff. It's too much low level stuff. So people can't have a high goal. They can't get to a high goal. You want a high goal. You know, it's like I learned from Kenneth Hagin. He said, if you have a real high goal, and he said, you make 75% of it. He said, you got some. He said, you set a low goal and you only make 75% of it. He said, what do you got? You know? So you want something high to shoot at. You know, this is in the natural. If, and they've done studies on this stuff. If, you know, one of the things is they, you know, have done, education's done today. They want to bring everybody to a low level so they can make the people on the bottom feel good getting on being on the bottom. And studies have proven the fact that if you put somebody in with, like if you have a student that isn't doing as well and you put them in with some people that are doing better, they come up. It's proof. They found out in sports is the same way. Teams generally play, if they play a much better team, play a better game. Well, in the church started doing this before the world started. The church started dumbing down everything. The church started doing that, trying to keep everybody happy. My job is not to keep you happy. I want you to understand that. I guess you've noticed. That's not my job. My job is to take you somewhere. And it might be dragging and screaming. But it's to take you someplace. But I'm to take you to someplace better and to take you to someplace higher. But it always requires more, so that's just the way it is. I don't know. I like that. Maybe, you know, a lot of people don't like that. I like the challenge. I like the challenge of going further. I like that. And I don't want to change from it. You know, if people just sort of like where they're at, well, I'm definitely not your cup of tea. If people like that, if people just sort of want to stay where they're at, that's not where I'm at, and that's not where God has me at. You know, the one thing, as the Lord told me years ago, He said, I put you, like He brought us back here. I had no intent to come back to this area after we left. The Lord sent me back, and then one of the things He told me to start the church, He said, I know who you are, what you are. He said, I know your personality. He said, you're in this community for a purpose. They need you here. He said, they need you here. I was not called to be like the rest of the pastors in the community. I was not called. They're called to do whatever they want. They can do what they want. I know what I'm called to do. We're laying a groundwork for things because there's a place for the church to go. And we want to talk about this in longevity. Now, last week in teaching, because longevity is important to understand in divine healing. Because especially today, when I started off, it wasn't as much as in the kingdom of God as it is today. Today, the idea of retirement and end of life is most people, their whole life today is to shoot for your retirement and your end of life. That's the whole goal. It isn't the goal of what you achieve in between. It's getting ready and getting enough so you can turn the switch off and then die. So see, if you're thinking like the world does and you're thinking like it is and that stuff, your actions, there are Christians, their actions concerning how they're saving for the future is killing them. Because their actions are to, you know, I'm going to go, you know, get to a point now, I'm just going to shut off and let everybody else do stuff. I want to understand this. If you're going to do that, there's no need for you in this earth. There's no need for you as a Christian to be here. You don't need divine health. You don't even need healing. If I'm not going to do the will of God, I might as well die. There's no point. It's doing the will of God. Number one agenda is whatever God's agenda is. You find out God's agenda and you do that. And you don't get into the thinking we have today of turning off. You know, the most fruitful time, the Bible talks about the fruitful time of the old age. Well, is that what happens in America today? Is old age fruitful? No, my words, all we do is they want to be taken care of all the time. They're not fruitful. And so we need to understand about longevity, because if my thinking about endurance in life is just this, I don't want to live a long time. I want to live a long time healthy. I don't want to be taking drugs to keep me going when I feel like I'm dead. Maybe, seems many do. Like I said, the average person my age, they said takes five different medications they're taking. Five different medications to... And I said, that my age. Well, you know, a few years older than me, it's probably six, seven, or eight of them, I'll tell you. But I know people do that. And I'm around people all the time. Life's not good. They're living, but, you know, it's like, we were down at the beach here a few weeks back, and I'm around and went up around the boardwalk, and I thought, well, I'd never seen so many people with walkers and canes. I mean, I just, like, dear Lord. And I'll tell you, I was older than a lot of them. People ain't doing good. People are not doing well. You know, I don't want to live a long time like that. I don't want to go that way. And we need to understand this, because our talking and our how we view life and what we're aiming our goals. James said that your tongue would control your whole body. If a man can control his tongue, he can control his whole body. Well, we know is one thing. When you see people in health and demise, we know that people are talking the wrong things and saying the wrong things and believing the wrong things. It's just downright the way it is. And what we want to do is we want to change that. Now, last week we talked about the 91st Psalm. I'm not going to go through that whole Psalm. But that Psalm, the fulfillment, the church is the fulfillment of that Psalm. The church is the fulfillment. We talked about that. You'd have to go over and listen to that. The church is the fulfillment. We're in that refuge and that fortress of the Most High God. That's the place where we're at. We're born again. We're children of God. And, excuse me. And, I use the scripture from John 15, because if we talk about that, Jesus said to his disciples on the night before he was betrayed in John the 15th chapter and 7 and 8, and I'm just going to quickly read through some of these. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now Jesus said that. He said, now by this my Father's glorified that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. In other words, the things that you abide in him and his word abides in you, that what you ask, the thing that you desire that you ask comes to pass. In other words, a fruitful prayer life, what you believe in God for and speak and happens. God is not glorified when your prayers aren't answered. So there's no, could no be no such things as sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, sometimes God says maybe. That's man's belief. That is man's teaching. God is glorified through you and I getting our prayers answered. We go through the 91st Psalm and you find out about it because you look in there, it tells you all the things. What? He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, he didn't say you'd never end up with a, you would never get in a bad situation, but he said he'll deliver you from it. One of the things is you have to get over the pessimistic look at life of things that are happening and become an optimist. You get into a tough situation, you got to, God will deliver me out of this. I don't care what, God's going to take care of this thing. He'll work it out for me. He'll do it. You got to get that. If you don't, you'll never, his number one, Kenneth Hagin said this. He said he could always tell who, faith people. He said faith people are optimistic and he can tell people who say they're faith people and pessimistic are not faith people. You can't be a faith person and pessimistic. That you can't do. That you can't do. And so you want to always stay on the optimistic side of things. In verse 9 of that psalm, I'm going to read down through it. It says, because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion, the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. He's going to satisfy us with long life. The satisfaction of long life. So in other words, we need to look at the fact it's how long I want to go. Here he's saying to us. But understand there is qualifications that he talks and says there. Concerning those things, you look, he says, I will say of the Lord. What are you saying? What's out of your mouth? Your mouth's going to determine a whole lot of these things. And I had made mention, and I'll say again and again, even though God knows how many days you're going to live, he didn't choose that. He just knows that. We choose them. And we're going to look at script. I'm going to read some scriptures here quickly. Number one, the word is where the life is. And I want to read, because dealing with longevity. We read from Proverbs. I just want to read a scripture. Proverbs, the third chapter. I'm going to go through these quickly. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2 says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Or we'd say in the New Testament, get the word in you. See, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, get it in you. It says, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. That's what the word will do to you. It'll add, give you long life. So in other words, if not getting in the word, not following, can shorten your life, can it? Exodus 23 and verse 25 and 26 says, so you shall serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. So in other words, here again, the qualifications were given in the Old Covenant, and it's the same way with the New. There's qualifications that we need to follow, things we need to do. You've got to get in line with the Word. The Word is where it's life. It's not men's opinions or men's ideas. It didn't say the doctor's going to determine the number of your days. I'm sorry, but most people and most Christians, that's what's going to happen. The doctor's going to tell them something, and they're going to go around repeating it. The doctor's going to tell them what they can't do, and they're going to go around repeating it. I can't do this, and I can't do that. People come and say, well, see, I can't do this. Would you pray for me? I said, well, if I can't get you to change your mouth, it ain't going to change. You can say you want healed. That's fine. Wanting healed ain't receiving healing, wanting to be healed. Wanting somebody to pray for you might not make a bit of distance. It might get worse for you. See, if a person comes and, well, the doctor said, person, don't come tell me what the doctor told you how bad it was. What did God say on the subject? Find out and say, this is what God said. Doctor said this and this is what God said. Very seldom have a person do that. They always just come and tell you what doctor said. What did God say? And then they'll sit there and stumble around and mutter for a half an hour trying to figure out a scripture and say, pray for me. Yes, I pray for you that you wake up. Pray for you that you read the Bible one day. Pray for you that you believe it. See, if we can't get people to do that, it really don't matter. Proverbs 9 in verses 10 and 11 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me," in other words, wisdom and understanding, "by me your days will be multiplied, and the years of life will be added to you." Now we also have scriptures talks about shortening of life. One of the scriptures we use from Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 3. This is the Apostle Paul. He said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long in the earth." Whether it's just honoring your parents, you need to understand this. Disobedience brings death. Many Christians, you know, think they live a pretty good life but are constantly disobedient to the Word. The Bible tells you things to do and they won't do it. And they shorten their life. They're disobedient. You know, disobeying the Word of God's a sin. Grace don't cover unrepented sin. Grace don't cover disobedience. You have to go obey. You can't say, "Lord, forgive me," and I'm still going to disobey. Grace don't cover that. I don't know what people think grace is. They think grace just takes care. I can just live in sin and grace covers me anyhow. That's the stupidest idea in the world. We should ought to figure that ain't working. grace don't take the place. You know, the Word tells us, it says obedience is better than sacrifice. You can't buy you, "Well, Lord God, you know, I'll just give more money." If I give more money, then I could turn around and live bad. You know, just those things don't work. Psalms 55, 22 and 23 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord. He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you," and this speaks of the evil ones, he said, "O God, shall bring them down to the pit, destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days." But he said, "But I'll trust in you." Proverbs 10:27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." See, we need to know, like, this isn't, these remarks that are made, like in Proverbs and things, these are not under the law. They were said during the time of the law, but these are words of wisdom. This stuff stands through all time. It don't change. "Well, I have grace so that I can get by with it." That's a junk that's being taught today in places. Under grace, you can do all this stuff. God ignores it. Well, I'm sorry. God's not ignoring anything. We need to understand these things. Get in line with them. You know, you could go over, look in Mark and also Luke and him have it, but you look under the parable of the sower. It says the sower sows words. The sower sows the word. Now, it's talking about the word of God being sown. And it gets in the soils, the heart of an individual. We need to know and understand the importance of this concerning when we deal in the areas of divine healing and we deal with life. You know, faith comes by hearing the word. It doesn't matter how much you hear me preach. Your destiny is set by your voice, not mine. You can listen to the best preaching in the world. It does you no value if it doesn't become your faith and your speaking. See, you have to. I can't speak it for you. You know, I can agree with you on things, but you got to be moving in that direction. You do it. Your voice sets your destiny. And so you need to understand it. It's just, if my preaching can't get you saved, you have to make a confession. You get saved through your confession. You can't get saved. I could preach and tell you what you need to do, but you're going to have to do it. And it doesn't change that in the Word of God. It doesn't change. See, in Mark 11, 23, Jesus said, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So in other words, I can't. It isn't, you know, so many people, they want somebody else to pray their mountain away. They want somebody else to do those. Folks, this stuff don't work. We ought to know by now. Trying to get other people to do our part. You know, I'm going to go out here and just talk when I'm going to, but I want to, I see this guy over here, this woman over here, they get things done in the spirit realm. So what I'll do is run over and get them to do it for me. You know, God might, as a baby, do some things for you like that, but it won't keep happening. It'll stop. You have to get yourself back over into this, and we need to understand this is why we're teaching these things. Is so these, number one, the renewing of the mind. Kenneth Hagin said, and I heard him say it over the years, he said it years back of before I became a Christian, I have some of his older stuff. He was saying it then. He's number one thing that's needed in the church world is a renewed mind. You got to get you got to change the way you think. If God can't change the way you think, you can't go any higher. You're always going to stay on the level that you think. And this is why changing the way I think, and this is why we're teaching this. You got to change the way you think. Most around you and most Christians around you are not moving toward longevity. They're moving toward death. No matter if they want to live a long time, that doesn't matter. God doesn't do it for you because you want to. It's number one, you've got to get it into your thinking. If you get it into your thinking, then you get it into your saying. You get saying going on. And then you're going to have to get it into your doing, what you do. You can't be making preparations to drop out and have longevity. You know, and we need to understand this. We'll talk about these things today on these areas. But we need we want to move ahead. You know, we have Galatians in Galatians 6 and in verses 7 and 8. Where the Apostle Paul told the church there, he's talking to Christians, he said, don't be deceived. He said, God's not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That word everlasting life, that life, word life there is the word zoe. That's the term that's used always concerning everlasting life. That's the word it means, it's always used in relationship to God's life, the life of God. See, God is life. He's light. He's life. We need to understand. See, God's not mocked. We as Christians, much of Christianity today is mocking God. They go around and talk everything opposite of what God says. Well, when your number's up, you're done. They're mocking God. Whether they realize it, they don't, might not realize it. But number one, their voice is turning around and setting them and others who listen to them into a wrong area. No, they're going to reap what they sow. You don't stop reaping what you sow just because you're a nice person. God's not mocked. God set a system in place. And it's how His laws and how His kingdom runs. It's how it works. Satan has a kingdom, how his works and how his runs. If your voice is in Satan's kingdom, that's what you're going to have. If you're triggering him, that's what you're going to get. God's not mocked. You're not going to sit around and have it, you know, most Christianity wants it both ways. Well, I'm sorry, it don't work like that. I've lived in the earth long enough to find out it don't work both ways. Life don't work both ways. Hallelujah. So, we want to head in the right way. Now, one thing I want to go to today, we're going to look at the 90th Psalm. I want to take you to the 90th Psalm. And this is important because we looked at the 91st Psalm. The 90th Psalm is a psalm that has been used by Christianity about our length of life. And I want to show you today, this has nothing to do with our length of life. We need to look at this. Because if this psalm is speaking of the length of life, then Psalm 91 is a lie. You need to understand that. Psalm 91 would be a lie if this psalm is what people say it's speaking of. Because we want to look at this psalm. In the 90th Psalm, if you, like the heading in my Bible has in there, it says a prayer of Moses, the man of God. In other words, this was a prayer of Moses. Now, we're going to look at this prayer. Man, I'm going to tell you what, I don't want to be praying like this a lot. But I understand why he was. We understand Moses. This is a prayer of Moses. So this Psalm is from Moses. And it says, Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even You had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, You're God. He said, You turn man to destruction and say, Return, old children of men. For 1,000 years in Your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You know, so Peter said that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. That's what this is saying here. 1,000 years passed. It's just like one day yesterday gone. 1,000 years with God. It's the same principle. It's laid out. He said, you carry them away. Now listen to this. These people, he said, you carry them away like a flood. They are like sheep in the morning. They are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up, and in the evening it's cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. Wow, this is a good uplifting one, ain't it? This is good uplifting stuff. He said, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance, for all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finished our years like a sigh. Gee, isn't that encouraging? Hey, man, this stuff the church loves. He said, the days of our lives are 70 years, and by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So in other words, the best, he's talking here, the best you can do, you hit 80, that's really good. Now, I want you to understand this going into this. Moses lived to be 120. What's he talking about here? He lived to be 120. See, one of the things they first teach you when you go to Bible school, if it's a decent Bible school, if it's a place where they actually teach the Bible, they will teach you this, how to interpret the Bible. Number one, when you read something, who's it talking to? People do this all the time. You know, the Bible speaks to three different classes of people. There's some things were spoken specifically to Israel, which the church don't get. The law, in other words, the law and the worship of the law and all that stuff, that was spoken specifically to Israel. That was never spoken to the Gentiles. The Gentiles, God never expected them to follow the law. Never. That was for Israel. But also, God spoke, today we read the Bible, there's things that God speaks to the church. And there's things that were spoken specifically to the world. There's three classes of people. Who's it talking to? Who's it saying it to? What's being said? Well, look at this. I mean, think of this. 70 years? I mean, that's a good one. Maybe by strength you'll make it to 80. Does that sound like satisfaction with long life? Well, you're right on that one. He said, who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. Teach us to number our days. Isn't that interesting? He said, you teach us to number our days. Now, according to most of the church world, it's God's number in your days. He's the one. Why would Moses be saying such a thing? Well, this prayer is for people to learn from. And the church generally has not learned from it. It says, so teach us number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This psalm that's put in here, this psalm is talking and was a prayer of Moses prayed concerning the children of Israel roaming in the wilderness because of disobedience. That's what this is about. I want you to think about this. The children of Israel went to the land. They got to Canaan. Showed up at Canaan. God sent 12 spies in. 12 spies come out. The children of Israel rebelled against God. He said, I've given you the land. They say, no, they're too big for us. They're too bad for us. We can't go in there. We can't do that. Now I want you to think of this. There's only three people out of probably, they estimate could have been about 1.5 million people. Three agreed with God. All of the rest didn't. All the rest did. They all heard the same message. They all got the same message. Moses, he agreed with God. Joshua and Caleb, they agreed with God. Now, When they refused to go, God got fed up with them. See, God had had mercy on them 10 times, it says before. He said, 10 times you rebelled against me, and this is the last shot, I'm done. He said, every man over 20 years of age is not going to enter the land. Over 20 years of age, he pronounced on them, God cursed them. God cursed them and sent them out in the wilderness. Now, I want you to think about this. If a guy was 20 years old, till they come back to the land after 40 years, he's going to be dead. So he ain't even going to live to 60. You need to understand what's going on here. These people are in the wilderness dying. They have no chance of longevity. They're under a curse because of their disobedience. And the judgment's been pronounced and God did not change it till all of them died. And you need to understand this. Lord, I'll not talk about that. Let me just say this to you. That generation had to die, or God could not have done what he wanted to do. He had to get rid of that unbelieving generation. If he didn't, the next generation is going to be cursed. We have it in the church world today. We have disobedience, and we have generations who have heard the truth. You know why it's been so long since we've had a move of God? I'm going to just tell you. This will tingle your ears a little bit. One of the reasons we've had such a long time between, because we had a move of God here in America, and there's a generation, and I was in that generation who heard it, and most of them are not walking nor living in it, and ain't till a bunch of them die till the move of God can come. Because of their unbelief, it keeps it out. There's many people who want a move of God, and they're the reason why we don't have it. Because they won't change. You need to understand these things, why stuff spiritually goes like it is. We'll talk about some of this later on about this, why Jesus ministered ways that he did and did things sometimes the way that he did. It was because of people and their disobedience who heard the word of God. You know, he told the disciples, you go out there, you go to a town and you go in and tell them the truth. They don't want it. You shake the dust off your feet. You don't stay there and just keep preaching to them. They turn truth away. God cursed, Jesus Christ cursed cities because he went there and did healing revivals and they refused him. And he said, he cursed those cities and said, Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be in better shape in the day of judgment than they are. We have people in the United States who sit in the church that are cursed because of their disobedience to the Word of God. And it has put a damper on others. These people here, these people are on the judgment of God because God wants to take these people in the land. He can't take them in. He can't take this generation in. They're a disobedience. I just want to let you know this. Some people ain't going to ever change. You waste your time on some people. That's why you need to listen to God. You waste your time trying to get some people to change. They ain't going to change. Those people, God gave those folks an opportunity. He said, 10 times, you guys, I tried to get, and you fought against me. He said, that's the last straw. See, we don't understand. We have this grace taught today that things can always be turned around. No, it can't. You can go too far. You can go too far. I don't believe in this sloppy grace they preach. You can get yourself over and get yourself in a mess you'll never get fixed. We need to understand these things because, see, if we're going to walk in divine health and we want to know about these things, we have to understand. I don't want to be... Just think about this. How many people living and dying and not have a move of God because of rebellious generation? Self-centered Christianity. Self-centered, selfish stuff. Oh, we can go out here, we go to church if we want to, we don't. We can, you know, drink it up, smoke it up, do whatever we want to do and everything else. You know, we're in grace and all this kind of stuff. These people hate the next generation. They hate them. Self-centered, self-loving, fleshly, doing their own things, partying their own, doing their own stuff. What about the next generation? I'm following God for a move of God to save people. Nobody can say they want to see people saved and they want to live a carnal life. You don't want to see people saved because you ain't gonna. What truth I hear, I'm responsible for. And God's going to judge me accordingly. And it can affect others. It affects others. So we want to live in the light of it. We want to live in the light of truth. I don't want to get to heaven and, you know, the Lord said, you know, Ed, you're just like them heathen Israelites I'm trying to take in the land. I wouldn't listen. And look what you did to the next generation. So I want to be there, folks. I don't want to be in that place. If I want to live a long life, I better do something else. The psalm that was read this morning, do you want to be in that category? There are Christians in that category. They live selfish, self-centered lives. It's all about them. Judgment comes on that stuff. Look at the church. Look at the church at Corinth. Paul wrote and said, you know, about them not walking in love with each other. He told them that God judged them. They're under judgment. Many are weak, sick, die prematurely because they wouldn't judge themselves. So they were judged by God. Does that sound? Do those guys sound like long life? Hell, no, it's not. You see, there's things you can't do that will bring it. This is why many Christians can't get healed. They listen to these lousy grace messages that teach them that just, you know, you can just do anything and you're saved, you're all right. I don't think you're all right if you don't have a care about the next guy. I just somehow think that ain't going to work. But I want you to understand this. We're dealing with, there's three people. Now, Moses was told by God he couldn't go into the land. He was told he couldn't. Because of what he disobeyed. He did. You imagine that? He obeyed God really well and messed up and couldn't go in. He didn't do half of what they did. But he had a lot more revelation than they had. God judges us according to what we know. Not according to what we don't know, but what we know. If you don't walk in the light of what you know, I tell people, you know, don't come here to church. If you don't want to know God and want to walk with God, don't come here. Because you'll hear the truth about the thing. We're going to tell you the word. I'll talk about the hard things. Well, to go to another level, I want to go to another level. I want to go higher. This is not a game. Hallelujah. You know, it always has saddened me when really people that were really good ministers of the word leave early. Because there are people with revelation who leave. And usually, lots of times, there's nobody to take their place because the ones behind them don't have the revelation they do. You see, it's important. See, as I get older, I'm getting more revelation. God wants me here to carry that revelation. I'm anointed to teach and preach it. I don't want the devil to take me out. I'm finally knowing something. I'm finally getting half smart. It ain't the time to leave. There's a lot to that to the natural side. See, people today, we want to pull out of everything and not do it. Yet they're at the point of life where they really got the wisdom, can really start living some life, and instead, let's go party and let's go rest and let's go sit down. No, I'm sorry. See, we see it carrying over into these things. Now, Moses can't go into the land, but there are people two people left that can go into the land. Two people that are left. Now, we know this, that Joshua and Caleb. Now, they're the only two men that were in that category from 20 years old up that get to go in the land. We have Joshua, Joshua lived to be 110. So we know this, that psalm wasn't to Joshua, was it? That psalm wasn't speaking to Joshua. Caleb, we don't know how long Caleb lived, but we know this. Caleb was still alive when Joshua died. So Caleb wasn't some little old frail dude that wasn't making it. Now, I want to talk to you about this morning because there was a revelation. I had never heard anybody preach about this. I've talked about it with us before, but I never heard anybody preach about it one day because I was over in just in this area studying some things about longevity and there were some things about health. And mostly I was studying on the areas of healing and looking concerning things about healing. And the Lord spoke to me about Caleb. So I went over and read this, and he spoke to me clearly about Caleb. And when he did that, you know, Caleb just became sort of a champion to me of things concerning the areas of faith, because it came a revelation to me of not just knowing a truth, but how you live it. See, number one, if you're not going to practice what you hear, it is of no value. There's no value in it. There's no value in knowing information that's not used. You know, is most of the things that you go to school and learn, there's no practical use for any of it. But they ain't going to bother teaching you anything you know, because the people that lots of times are teaching you, they ain't been out in this world and done nothing anyhow. And they don't know. They don't have no experience or anything anyway to teach you anything. It's like I always tell people, the funniest thing in the world is you go to a business school and everybody that teaches you has never been in a business. Most of them never worked. They never worked one day of their life in a business. Their whole career has been teaching on business and have no clue about business. They've never suffered through what you go through to have a business. That's why I thought business school is one of the stupidest places to go to. It's one of the dumbest places. Best you go work for somebody that knows about business and learn. They'll teach you more about business. You know. Let me just say, you know, most people go through and get a business education. When they go to a corporation to work, that most of the time, 90% of the time, the corporation has to retrain them. Has to get out of them what they were told in school and teach them how it really works. Folks, I was around it. When I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company, every once in a while they'd get one of these silly guys in and thought he knew it, and they'd bring him in to teach him. And then sometimes they'd send him back to my apartment. These guys are going to be over me, and you got to show them what's going on. And you find out they're so dumb as a stick, you don't believe it. Literally, we had an engineer from Three Mile Island. He was an engineer that worked at Three Mile Island. I always told him, I said, now I know why they had the problem over there. He literally, now I'm going to tell this, I'm not making this up. He didn't know heat rises. I had to tell him. I said, I said to him, you're an engineer. I said, you're not an engineer. I said, you went to a school. But I said, engineers. I said, my words. I said, one of the first thing, you know, I said, hot air balloons. You know, kids, they taught us that stuff in school. He didn't know that. He told us in a room we had vents in the ceiling and fans in the ceiling and then vans lowered down the wall. We had these big ovens in there and a lot of heat's generated. So you want to get it out. So he said, oh, you'll form a vacuum in this room. I said, what? He said, you'll form a vacuum in here. I said, why? He said, well, this hot air ain't going to go out. I said, what are you talking about? I said, heat rises. He just looked at me dumb. I said, boy, who are we talking to here? This is a good one. I said, I know why you're out of Three Mile Island now. Woo-wee! Okay. All right, that was free, folks. Anyhow. Well, see, this is number one. Is one of the things that I learned over time was this. Is one thing is I liked about Kenneth Hagin ministry and others, and I used to really listen to people. You want to hear what the Word says, but I want to hear what people did to act on the Word. That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know. See, that was one of my things when I first got saved. Kenneth Hagin would talk about acting on the Word of God. And I want to know, it's like he said, when you know, you believe the Word of God, then you got to act on it. I wanted to know, well, what do I have to do to act on it? What do we need to do? Because there's one thing that I found out, that 99% of Christians that I were around that talked about faith in the Word, I couldn't look at their life and see what anything concerning actions of what they were all saying they believed stuff, but stuff wasn't coming to pass. And I found this out over the years, and the Lord taught me the reason the things they believe don't come to pass, because they never act like it's true. Believing the Word is act like it's so. Believing the Word and saying it's so is not enough actions most of the time to bring anything to pass. You got to act like it's so. See, most people never do that. They never act like it's so. They pray, and then they act like it's not working because they don't see it right away. So their actions become contrary to what they say they believe. And you know what James said about that? That's dead. That's dead faith. That's faith that does not produce. You have to act like the Word's true. I found this out. If you want the Word to come to pass, you can slow it down or pick up its speed coming to pass about how you act. Your actions are big because your actions say a lot about really the faith that you have. Is your faith just a little bit trying to push at something that's heavy, or do you have a faith? Are you acting like something's real when it don't look like it's real at all? Most people will live by what they see, feel. We're singing this morning, I'm not moved by circumstances. I'm sorry. Most all Christians are moved by their circumstances. Their circumstances will generate their prayer life and everything. They're all governed. Many are not governed by what's going on in the inside. They're all governed by what is going on in the outside. They're moved by their circumstances. And so if you're moved by your circumstances, your actions are going to be according to what you believe is true, your circumstance. So you're going to act in that manner. It's not hard. Now, what I want to do is look at Joshua in the 14th chapter, because I want you to look to see this man. And in Joshua, the 14th chapter, and verse 6 starts off, then the children of Israel, the children of Judah, came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jenuth, he said, the Kenizzanite, it said, said to him, you know, the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh. See, these were the two guys. These are the two guys that obeyed God. These are the two guys, when they went in the land and saw all the giants, they saw all the stuff. When they come out, they said what God said. They didn't speak their circumstance. They didn't talk it. The only ones in the bunch. I've learned this all the time. You need to understand this about faith when it comes down to healing. When Kenneth Hagin said majority of the Christians are not going to get healed, this is why. Because majority of the Christians, just like the children of Israel, the majority is going to go with what they see and what they feel. And you can teach them the word, but they still go by what they see and feel. Now, that's not trying to be negative. I'm telling you, the negative parts, you say, I ain't going there. I ain't going to do that. I'm going to be like Joshua and Caleb. See, long years ago, as a young Christian, I decided Ed's going to be Caleb. I'm Caleb. Hallelujah. You can call me that if you like. I'm Caleb. Hallelujah. Now listen to what Caleb says. Caleb says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Now listen, that's important. See, he had gotten what he had gotten was in his heart. All the rest of those people heard what God said, but that wasn't what was in their hearts. Why? Because all the rest of them, all the time that they were going from Egypt, going over to the land, complained, griped, and moaned, their heart was full of their voice, their complaints and griping and moaning. See, if you find a complainer, a gripe, and a moaner, you can know that's what's in their heart. Because they're always griping, their words get in their heart. See, it doesn't matter what I preach to you, it's what you do. It's what you preach to you. If you're a griper and a moaner, and complaining about this, every time something comes up, you're griping about it, complaining about it, you're saying it with your lips, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your words. Ooh, good preaching. Caleb says this is what's in his heart. In other words, the right thing, he got in his heart what God said. He is definitely a minority. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, now listen, as yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron, the son of Jonath, as an inheritance. And Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jenuth, the Kenzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. How did he follow God? By following his word. By following his word. That's how he followed God. He followed. Now he said this. I was 40 years old when God promised me that land. He said, I'm 85 years old and I'm as strong as I was when God promised it to me at 40. Now people say, well, they lived longer then. That's the biggest lie. We know this. All the men died really quick. In 40 years, every male above 20 is dead. They weren't living long. We find three guys who lived wrong. Moses, 120, 110, Joshua, and Caleb. We know, don't know how long, but we know he was alive after Joshua died. He said, at 85, I'm as strong as I was when I'm 40. He said, go out to war and come in. The Lord took me over there when I was learning these things, and he took me over here. This is some years back. I don't know how many years it's been now, probably a good 20 years. He took me back over here and he began to talk to me. And he started talking to me because I always had this interest in about how you act and what you do. And the Lord spoke to me really clear about this. He said, what do you think Caleb was doing? Now you need to understand, in Israel, their army, you served in the army from 20 to 50 years old was the age of the army. That was the average age. Well, they weren't living a whole lot out there in those days, a long time after that. But the Lord said to me, he said, what do you think Caleb was doing? Do you think he was just sitting around confessing? He's going to get in the land, he's going to be all right, he's going to be. He said, he wasn't acting like an old man. He said he wasn't sitting on a rock. This is what the Lord said to me. He wasn't sitting down there on a rocker in front of his tent. And then all of a sudden, one day we get the land. Now you're going to be strong. See, this is what people come along and they do in their life. You need to sense that. Your physical actions have a lot to do with what God can do spiritually. You start acting old and talking old, you can say what you want about healing. You're not going to get there. Caleb was going to a land. He didn't believe. He wasn't talking like people do today and say, well, do all this stuff when you're young because when you're old, you can't do it no more. See, they're planning not to be able to do that. They're planning to be in a bad physical condition. That's what they're planning for. My words, my one brother's in his 80s, and my words, he's still running all over the place and drives his motor home and goes and stuff. I said, we were talking about this past week. We had to get together with the family and a bunch of them together. It's one thing as I noticed, like with my brothers and stuff around, it's one of the things is we've had a lot of longevity in our family, and I can just tell you why. We laugh and talk and just have a good time. They're not negative about things. They're not negative about life. I mean, all of them. I'm the youngest of the bunch, so everybody else is in their 70s and in their 80s, and you get around them, you'd never think they're that age. My words, I get around people in their 50s, and I can't stand it. I want to get away from them. My life is like going to a hospital. But we were talking about it, and I talked about it. I said, it's one of the things that I said, and we need to understand this. I know sinners, they're going to live longer than Christians because they don't live under the weight of all the stuff Christians and all their junk and nonsense talking and all their craziness. A merry heart does good like a medicine. If you don't laugh very much, you got a problem. You can't look at trouble and laugh. You ain't got no faith. See, you got to get over it. You can't just sit around and laugh and worry about stuff. You got to get yourself over. Get happy. Get a smile on your face. Notify your face that there's joy in your heart, that God's living in you. You can say it all you want, but your actions will destroy everything you believe by walking around long-faced and everything else. You can say, I believe in God. Notify your face. You got some faith there. That'd be a big help. Is your actions. The Lord asked me, he said, you think Joshua just picked up a sword and out 85 years old, now he's going to fight? He said, this man has been fighting with Israel in all their wars in that 40 years. He's been fighting with them. He didn't get a rocker and sit down. He didn't retire. He's going to the place to where he has an inheritance. I'm going to tell you, I'm fruitful in old age. Hallelujah. I'm coming into the best years of my life, not going out. All these people are turning around, oh, you know, we got to retire because I got to go sit down and I want a few good days to do something, but we can't travel, we can't do this anymore. Well, then leave. Quit taking up taxpayer dollars. I don't want to pay no taxes for you. Go home. Get saved anyhow and then go home. But dear God, what a nonsense when you lose that. You know, I was born and raised, you know, and we were, you know, like, it isn't like today. We were taking around older people. When my parents would visit, we'd go down to Virginia and we'd meet relatives down there. And we had relatives, man. We had old people. There were nothing like today where you go around. The old people weren't all sitting around waiting to croak in a home somewhere. The old people, amazing how active these people were and what they did. You didn't go to their house and listen to complaints and stuff and things about, they didn't have that. You know, they hadn't seen the doctor 47 times to get enough complaints, you know, to hear enough bad news to go ahead and go around talking it all the time. They fit life, you got to live it. And you know, they knew sometimes things were hard and that's just, well, then you just do whatever. You do what you need to do, and that's just the way they were, and they lived. My words, we'd go around people. You know, we'd go around some of our relatives down in Virginia, and back in those days, were really poor people. I mean, you went to their house, they'd have windows open, you know, no screens in them, screen doors are open. I'm literally chickens running through the house. You go around to people and stuff, and that they're down there. But you know what? Those older people lived down there. You go to their home. They were just so happy to see you talk, and they would be so nice to you and that kind of stuff. You never heard griping and complaining. They were sitting around all the time. Right, and complain about how bad it was, what the government ain't done for them. People are such whiners today. Folks, it's good preaching stuff. This is about longevity of life. I understand why I come from a heritage. It ain't just genes, folks. It's mouths. It's what people believe and talk and say. And you know, really, I come from people, even my mom's side and my dad's side, of people who came through hard stuff in life and tough stuff in life, but they didn't end up quitters. You know, my mom didn't end up a quitter. My mom comes from a family of 14 kids, 7 of them and her dad died in one flu epidemic. But they didn't sit around and hide under a rock just because, but today, my God, you get one person die in the family and the Christians can't take it. Whining and crying and acting like everybody's went to hell and everything else. And you see, this is all about actions of how we act. We say, well, we believe they went to heaven, and then we act like they went to hell. You're never going to see them again. The Bible tells us, Paul said, depart with Christ is far better. In other words, they're far better off, and we're upset because they're far better off. Now, if you thought they were better off, you wouldn't be such a whiner. I've never seen anything like it today. You know, as people get older, one partner usually leaves before another. That usually happens. People can't take that today. Years ago, when I was a kid, it was all the time. You'd see that with the older people. They never had that thing today then when people couldn't take it. Even though they missed their loved one, people had faith about things, and this is the way life, somebody leaves. So I'm here to go on, and I'm going on. That's the way it was. It's not like that today. It's all this so-called stuff. We have faith teaching. It ain't no faith teaching. Nobody will tell people the truth and tell them to knock off the nonsense. Quit acting like sinners. We're supposed to live like we got hope, not like the world that don't have hope. I understand it's sad when you see a loved one gone because you miss them. But if they're in heaven, dear God, they don't want to see your face till you get there. They don't want to come back here. Don't try to call them back. They don't want to see your ugly face. They're with Jesus. Dear God, Jesus or you. Get over it. You ain't even close. See, you got to come down to believing. I'm going to leave here one day and be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Not staying with you, thank God. And if I got to stay with you, I hope it's when Jesus comes, we all get a new body, because I don't want to see you the way you are. Folks, you know, this is about life. See, I tell you, it's what gives you hope. I can never remember, and I was at numbers of funerals because we had literally thousands of relatives. We would have family reunions and it seemed like half of Virginia came to them. You get down the Shenandoah Valley, and they were all married amongst each other down there. It was loaded. We had Gibsons and Rainses and, you know, all kind of different people down there. Morrises, all of them, they're all joined it. But they would come. I would go to family reunions, and I wouldn't know 90% of the people that were there. And they'd come up, and, you know, people introduced each other to whoever came from and whatever else. I mean, it was just something else. But, I mean, it's just loaded with people, lots of people there. But, you know, over all the years, so we go to funerals, and we go to funerals. I can never remember one sad funeral, not one. Never one. I grew up, funerals weren't bad places to go to till I got into Christianity and I started going to funerals as a minister and had to minister to people. And you'd think Jesus died. We wonder if the angels are still there. You know, I just want to know, this is absolutely serious. Now, I've been to funerals down in Virginia, and there were the funerals, like they would have, like the body would be viewed at home. They would, when I was a kid, they'd be in the house and there's stuff like that. Sometimes they'd be at the church or a funeral home. They had this one guy in Grottoes, had a place, it was Kiger was his name. And it was called Kiger Shop. It was a funeral home. It was also a blacksmith and all kind of place. It was all in one thing. You know, they had all this, they called it Kiger Shop. And a lot of my relatives were died. He took care of their funerals, he all did. So he knew everybody in our families and he stuff. But I remember going there many times to funerals. Now, we had people, a lot of Christians, you know, and that stuff. There were Christians died. Going to the viewings and stuff, we're always laughing and talking together. Sitting around talking fond memories of the person. What is sitting around bawling and squalling? My God, they don't have to be with us here anymore. Hey, they went on, you know. They acted like, now these people, none of them were spirit-filled. None of them knew about talking in tongues, none of that stuff. But they all believed the Bible was true. I just wish I could get the spirit-filled people to start believing that. They'd sit around and they would talk. You'd go away encouraged. I remember as a kid, I didn't. People say, well, we're going to be on funerals and death. We never even looked at it that way. See, you got to live. You can't sit around and talk you believe this stuff. Somebody went to be with Jesus and then act like they didn't. You're gonna feel your sadness based on what you do, not because you said you believe that. You believe that and you act the opposite. Your feelings are going to follow what you've been doing. That's why you go to the Word. You go to the Word, you talk the Word. I never, you know, you went to funerals and I'm going to say, they talk like people went to heaven. They talk like they went to their reward. They're better off. See, we lose all that stuff. We lose that stuff when people don't follow the Word. And what happens is you get people today, when they talk about death, the only thing that bugs me about death is when I see a sinner die. That bugs me. But the saint dies. I don't care if they miss God, but they're a saint, they're in heaven. Dear Lord, this is the best they're ever going to have it. They get to heaven? What are we squalling about that for? Dear Lord. There should be a longing in us to be with Christ. If you don't have that, you're missing something. Caleb had a longing in him for the fulfillment of promise. And he lived like when he got the promise, he was still going to be living. He lived like he wasn't going to be an old man when he got there. He was going to have years to live in that promise. God didn't promise him something. There's things that God promised. And as my age goes on, I don't worry about life at all. I don't care when that thing shows up. I'm going to get to enjoy it. I'm going to get to walk in it. I'm going to get to live in it. I'm going to refuse to let age be my determination of God's promise fulfilled in my life. Well, you'd be too old to enjoy it. I can imagine. I bet you, Caleb, we know that scumbag bunch he was hanging around with and he had to live with every day. All them people out there full of negativism all the time saying, well, you know, Caleb, you know, you're lucky you're as old as you are. Yeah. You're just lucky you have good genes in your family. And yeah, you just, you know. Yeah, when you get over there, though, I tell you, when you get that promise, well, you know, in a couple of years, you'll be dead. Yep. God will call your number. God spoke to me about Caleb, I decided I was going to be a Caleb. I'm not going to quit doing things just because as I get older. You know, I'm still going out and running. So you can go and get your, you know, ready for your retirement, get your chair and get in it. I'm not. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have what you believe and do. And your doing is going to have a lot to do with your believing. You can say you believe the Bible is true, but you're doing. See, one thing is I believe you come to the place one day, your body can wear out and you'll go home. But I believe people have gone home way too early. Most Christians, majority of Christians are going to die before their time. It's because what they believe and what's been what they taught. They don't have. They can't put their faith out there for something they don't believe they can have. Loads of Christians are taught Psalms 90. 70 or 80 years. Let me just tell you this. See, that was the common teaching back then. Kenneth E. Hagin used to preach that. 70, 80 years. Now, he made a statement. He said he'd live as long as Smith Wigglesworth, in which he was in his... I think he left a little short of Smith Wigglesworth from a year standpoint. But he always said, he said he was going to live, which was, he left at 86. And Smith Wigglesworth was 87 when he died. But he said he would live as long as Smith Wigglesworth, and he did. But you know, as he got older, he began wanting to change that. He realized he got revelation. See, I heard him talk about 70 or 80 years, and I never would go on along with him on the idea because I know God spoke to me about Caleb. See, you need to, I'm not putting anything down on him. I'll tell you what, there's a lot I'd probably revelation I'd never even have if it wouldn't have been things he put into me. But you know, see, one of the things that he did was he put things into him and he got it out far enough he couldn't turn it around. In his last years, he would have Keith Moore into his services and have Keith Moore teach on longevity. He was doing that for him, not for everybody. Everybody else can get blessed by it, but he used to do it for him. To listen to it. See, they didn't teach that way. Then I heard Kenneth Hagin prophesy one time and prophesy. He said in the last days, he said, people live be great old ages. See, he started getting revelation, but you know what happened? See, he had set himself in an area, and this is what people need to understand. People do this, and get this, do this all the time with healing. They set themselves in a direction where they can't turn it around in their beliefs. And when they need divine healing, they can't get it because they have so long set themselves in what they believed and said, they can't turn it around. You ain't got enough time on the earth to turn it around. You need to understand, that's why time could be your friend, but time can be your worst enemy when you live carnal. When you just get over and you just want to walk a certain way, you need to know it's important. This is one thing I learned when I first got in the kingdom, the importance of learning things when you're young and start setting in the right direction, because this is what Kenneth Hagin said. He wasn't being mean to anybody or anything. He said, you ministers, he said, spend most of your time trying to teach younger people, you know, because he said, most of the old people in your church, he said, you ain't going to change them. They're just going to keep going the same direction. And this is one thing that I decided. When I get older, I am going to stay teachable. Most people, as they get older, are no longer teachable. They think because I've got to a point I know. No, you don't know. Some of the greatest revelations that I've got from the Word of God have come to me in the last few years. But see, you become unteachable. There's things you won't even look over into. You won't even go over there. God's not chase you down and give you revelation you ain't searching for. You have to want to go further. Folks, see, this is good. This is stuff that's not usually talked about. People don't hear. They don't talk about these things. But we need to talk about it. These are the things that I learned, things from Kenneth E. Hagin concerning divine healing. I realized the things that you have to understand, that if you want divine healing, now, you want to go to the doctor in that way, it's different in concerning believing what you're doing. but divine healing to go to that. And I set a target. I wanted to go there. And what do I have to do? Because this is the great benefit. Understanding divine healing and how it works, you will not be attacked near as often. You will know how to keep things away. You'll learn how to walk in an area where you keep things away from you, where Satan can't come and get you. You need to look. Satan can't just come and attack you anytime he wants to. He can't. If he could, man, he'd be here today with a bucket of sickness for every one of us. Now, wouldn't he? He can't do that. The Bible says this. The curse doesn't come without a cause. There's reasons for attack. Understand the reasons. Sometimes attacks come because people are disobedient in an area. Now, it might be it's really bad. I'm not talking about being some bad sin. It's because they don't walk in the light of what they had. Most people don't realize when they are being attacked, they never stop and judge why it's there. They immediately go over and I want to get healed, I want to get healed, I want to get healed, and never look. Say, wait, did I leave a door open? Something happened that this is not? Why? I want to close that because I found this out. People that don't do that, it won't be long and something else will get them. Why? Because they don't realize, they don't stop. You got to learn to do that. You learn to stop and say, this is coming. Why is it coming to me? What's going on? Am I doing something? Am I doing something wrong? Well, I want to know because I want to close that door. I don't want to have that thing available to me, something available to me again. I don't want to do that. Anytime that I've had a major attack or something on me, it's because I missed it. Now, I know that ain't fun standing up telling other people there. I don't want anybody to know I miss it. Well, don't worry. We all know. You miss it. Finding out why. Where did I miss it? What did I do that allowed that to come? I want to find. If I'm in a place, I want to find out. I want to close that place. I don't want to let the devil come back to that place. Sometimes it can be for different things. It can come back to lack of knowledge. You can have the lack of knowledge in an area, and you need to gain knowledge in an area. And understand, baby Christians, amazing how God protects. That's amazing how He protected me when I was a young Christian. I look at things and I sit down and look and think back now and think, dear God, He was so kind to me and so good to me in spite of my stupidity. It's amazing. And the same with you. You're as dumb as I am, and I hope you're not like that today. But He protects us. But just like we do with children, we don't expect children. God's a good father. And growing up, He looked after us in a lot of things. And there's areas that I went after in faith that were some pretty big bites to chew off, but I went to stand in them. And God helped me go through things that really taught me a lot of things. One thing the Lord said to me, I remember hearing Kenneth Hagin talk and said this, that he said, the Lord said to him, I allowed you to go so through some things in life. He said, so you could teach my people faith. You can't, if you ain't never been through nothing, you can't teach anybody nothing. You ain't got nothing to teach. And if you haven't overcome in it, you surely don't have nothing to teach. A lot of people can teach you how to go through sickness. Not many people can teach you how to get out of it. I want to know how to get out. Hallelujah. I'm looking for the teacher that knows how to get out. No one knows how to go through a bad time. I want to know how to get out of that bad time. Now, I do want to know how to act right going through the bad time. I do want to learn that. Hallelujah. So you go back over online and still Mike's teachings on patience are in there. That'd be a good place for you to start. Go over there and learn. Because, look, the trying of your faith worketh patience. When your faith is being tried, that's the time patience must go to work. Because if it doesn't, your faith, what you think is faith, will fail. Hallelujah. When Mike taught that series back then, how many years ago did you say that was? About 5 years ago, he taught that series. So that's about the time we came here. About 5 years ago, he taught that series, and I think it was for me. No, there's one, you need to understand this. If you want to go to higher level, you have to learn to do and walk in different levels of things. I realized God wanted to take me to a higher level, and I needed to hear that thing about patience so I could walk and be, he could take me the next level. He can't take you to the level you can't. God don't do like we do in school, that you don't have to learn and he'll still pass you the next grade. God will not do that. God will not. If you don't meet a certain level, he won't take you any further. You'll only get revelation to a certain level, and things won't add up to you till you get yourself to walking in that level you're in and get that thing's at. See, he wanted to take me to another level. He had to get me on this thing of patience to help me get over in the areas where I put my patience to work. Why? Because when you go to the next level, you're going to find this. The devil's going to try to bring greater attacks to you. The devil don't want me to learn anymore because I'll tell people about what God's doing. He don't want me preaching this stuff. He don't want people hearing these things. He wants you hearing this stuff. He wants to be able to attack you at will. That's what he wants. He don't want you listening to people telling you how this thing works and you getting revelation on it and being able to walk in it. Because then he can't push you around anymore. No, he likes pushing you around if you let him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, we need to get over in these areas here of walking and understanding some of these things about faith and patience. If we want to get to this next level, we want to go. And the Lord says, today we're stepping into a new level. See, I wasn't going to teach all of what I'm talking about here today. These things are being said, really, because there's a higher level to walk in if you want to go over to the divine healing side. If you want to understand it, revelation must come. See, one of the things is I got revelation. I did when I first got born again concerning divine healing. As I've said many times, about the first 3 years I was born again, main subject that God had me always studying and looking into was divine healing. And you know what? But if I get over, my greatest anointing is what I'm teaching on the areas of healing and stuff. That's my greatest anointing. Why do you think Jesus had so much healing in his ministry? Did anybody know why he had so much healing in his ministry? The Bible says he was anointed, but we know this. He went to Nazareth and couldn't do any mighty work because of their unbelief. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. He was preaching about healing all the time. His custom was, it tells us, he would say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel. And he goes on to set the captive free, to heal the brokenhearted, all those things. He went on to tell him, say all those things. That was his ministry, to set people free. That was his anointing. And so what was his major thing he did? Besides teaching and preaching, the major thing he did was healing. Well, he couldn't have been healing and people couldn't have had faith for healing if he wasn't preaching the word. The reason there's no healing, very little healing going on in the church world, because there's no preaching of it. They're laying hands on the sick without preaching it. There's no faith for it. It don't work. You need to hear it and hear it and hear it. We live in a society and in a church world, and even today, I mean, I've read some books and stuff on healing and stuff, and I just can't believe them. I mean, they're so candy. Your teeth will rot if you eat them, if you read those books. I mean, they're just so candy junk. You're never going to get nowhere with it. God wants you well. That's good. God wants you well. Does that get you well because God wants you well? It never did me. I have to know how I can cooperate with God. What's required of this? Where do I need to walk? And, you know, when I look in the Bible and I see God's best and I think, my words, I don't have that. I'm not there. My first thought is, how do I get there? What do I need to know to arrive there? When I saw about healing, there's one thing that I didn't like when I was a sinner. I didn't like to be sick. I am really remarkable to me how many Christians just, you know, sickness comes and they just don't. I mean, I hated to be sick. And today it's worse. If something tries to come on me, it makes me mad. Because of this, I equate sickness to what the Bible does, sin. Kenneth Hagin said this, and he would sure make people mad today saying it in the churches. He said he ain't a sin to get sick, but he said it's a sin to stay sick. That won't go over to church world today. No, I'm going to tell you, we don't say that because people will be uneasy. They don't want to hear that. Now, he's a man who loved people. But see, we don't equate sickness with its father, the devil, the author of sin. That's where it came from. All sickness has come through sin. There was no sickness in this earth till Adam sinned. Sin. Really, sickness is the offspring of the devil's thing, sin. That's what it is. When sickness comes to us, we ought to stop and say, ain't having that. No, 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 hold it, hold it. We don't. The church coddles it and, you know, pampers everybody with it and don't stop and say, you need to get that off of you. Well, you just don't know what I'm going through. Yes, I do. Your emotions, that's what you're going through. You're feeling bad and sorry for you. And not stopping and saying, no, I'm tired of this. When I get attacked, I get mad. I want to know how to get it off of me. I want to know how to stop this thing. I want to know what to do. Your actions, and we'll talk about this more as we go on, your actions are so important to fulfill. This is why I love Caleb, because God taught me that through Caleb, my actions, according to what I believe, is what's going to bring me my success. What you do. And see, I thought, well, if I want to live a long time, I got to do what Caleb did. I've got to do what he did. I can't sit around and talking like I'm old, talking like I can't do things, talking like, well, you just know how it is as you get older. No, I don't. I don't know. I mean, how many times I've had people tell me, wait till you get to be my age and I'm older than they are. I always love it to run into these people that I think are about in their 80s and find out they're in their 50s. But then I listen to them talk and I'm amazed that they're still alive. And it's sad because it's not God's plan for man. God gave us a plan for soundness and wholeness, sound minds. I'm going to teach you some things. We're going to talk some things. I'm going to tell you why Isaac was blind in his old age. I'll give you some revelation. See, God had a plan for good for man. Man gets out of God's plan, gets out of God's will. It opens the door to the devil to do things. And this is why we want to find out, what's God's plan? I want to walk in it. What's God's plan for health, soundness? Start to say, start to act like it's true. You know, and you've heard me say this before. Don't be one of these people who sit around and make jokes about, well, you know, you get old, huh? You know, I've had a senior moment. Don't forget something. Say, I have a senior moment. Now, that might sound really cute, but you're killing yourself. There's nothing cute about it. Dear Lord, I raised kids and my kids would always forget stuff. I'd tell them to do something that wasn't done. I'd say, why didn't you do it? I forgot. They didn't say I had a senior moment. When I get old, you know, I want to get old very well, but my mind's going to go on me. Most Christians believe that stuff. That is their faith. When they're making those things, that ain't jokes. They're expecting it. They can go through the laughter, but inside, nobody's laughing. Inside, there's no laughter. They're afraid of the days to come. I had a Christian say to me, well, you know you got to get sick to die. Who said that? A spirit-filled Christian. I'm not sure what spirit that was he was filled with, but I'm not sure about that one. I had to think that one out. But, see, that's why I get, you go on and you listen to all this stuff. Is there no reason why today, when they do studies, they find out that people get older, they're going, why? Because most everybody's tied into the system, the death system. They're tied to it. And so when you do the study, all the people are in the death system, you're going to find death. I don't pay no attention to those studies. Come study this dude. Well, you're just different. Every time I go to the dentist, son, go to the dentist. What medication are you taking? I'm not taking any medications. What? You're not taking medications? No, I'm not taking any medications. No. Oh. You're lucky. And they're younger than I am. They got their five. They say, you're lucky. I just tell them God's good to me. I say, God's good to me. But people wonder all the time. You run into people, well, what medications do you take? That's what people like to talk about, these things, you know? Meet together and how are you feeling? Boy, I tell you, I learn. I don't say, there's people. I always like to ask Mike Krause here how he's doing, because he always has a good report. If he'd be crawling in the door, he would still say, I'm doing great. He's his confession, I'm doing good. You know, there's people I'd never say it to, ask them how they're doing. Because I ain't got a time for the report, you know. It's just it's talking bad. And see, one of the things to do is I found out as people get older, they want to talk about these things and talk about their problems and talk about what's going on and what's their health. Why would our health and the weather be the subject of whether it's good or bad? Usually if the weather's real nice, they don't say much about it anyhow. They want to complain when it's bad, or they're complaining about their health or this. Or, you know, the sun came up too early this morning, or it went down too late last night, or it did this, or this happened, or that. Oh my God, we had rain again. Or let's see how this is. But those things can't affect our lives and be things that bother me either way. You know, we have to learn that, not that, you know. I think about as kids, we grew up in a home that, what the weather was didn't really matter much at all about anything. You just looked at the thing that some days were good to work in the garden and some weren't. Some days were outside and you could mow the yard, some days you didn't. I mean, other than that, I mean, there was nothing about the weather. I mean, we looked forward to the rain. We couldn't go out and mow. You know? Then it quit raining, it was that high, and you're out there mowing the yard. So you had those things. But you know, we didn't, it wasn't like today. We have had such an enormous change in our nation, and the church has just followed the wave of change that's been terrible. And the reason they have is because ministers won't preach the truth. My job is not to preach to you the word. My job is also, as Paul told Timothy, to rebuke. The church needs rebuke today for what they're doing. They need rebuked. There's many times God rebuked me, thank God. You don't get rebuked, you'll never change. You'll just keep doing what you're doing. Preaching the word to somebody many times don't change them until they get rebuked. People will sit under the teaching of the word for years and actually be under the judgment of God and dealing with sickness they can't get rid of. And you teach them the word and teach them the word, they don't change till somebody rebukes them. Till they found out, oh, other people know what I'm doing. Stupid the whole time that everybody else knows. They know what's going on. Sometimes I knew what to do and didn't do it. God rebuked me. He didn't say, oh, you cute little thing. He'll say, what on earth do you think you're doing? You know better. I've had the Lord tell me, you don't want to ever do that again. And I'm like, yes, sir, I always remember those ones. You don't want to do it again. I've told this before, but, you know, just in the areas of, I was a coffeeholic. And, a real coffeeholic. I mean, I would sit and I'd just drink coffee, and I'd put a pot of coffee on, and during the day I'd drink coffee, and I'd make another pot of coffee and drink coffee. And it's nothing about drinking coffee. But if you're have to have coffee all the time, you're in trouble. You got a problem. You're no different than an alcoholic. You need something. Anything you need like that and have in it is going to affect you spiritually. It's going to affect you. Well, the Lord was being very kind to Ed, and he kept prompting me for almost a year. See, this is the mercy of God. He prompted me for almost a year, kept prompting me, you need to knock the coffee off. You need to knock the coffee off. And I didn't knock the coffee off. I just, you know, I kept I knew it. I'd think, yeah, I need to slow down. They just keep coming to me. You knock coffee off, and I'd knock coffee off. So we were meeting out on Birch Road at that time in the building out there on Birch Road. And I went down one Saturday evening, and it had snowed, and about a foot of snow. And things were pretty well plowed off and everything, but we had our van went down around the back side. We had a handicap vehicle that we brought. Used to bring Larry Wycan on and that stuff. So anyhow, that I went down there to shovel out down in the back there for the back, because we'd bring the van in into the back. And I was out there shoveling. Out there minding my own business, you know. Here the pastor is. He's out there shoveling snow. And I'm out there praying in tongues and shoveling snow by myself and out there. And all of a sudden, this voice said, "You're disobedient." Just as clear, "You're disobedient." When those words were spoken, I knew exactly what he was dealing with me about the coffee thing. I knew as soon as he said, "You're disobedient," I was like, yeah, he's been dealing with me in this coffee thing. That's all he said. "You're disobedient." And all of a sudden I knew he's unhappy with it. You see, it's number one, he wasn't being mean to me. God wanted to take me to a higher level. But my flesh was dominating me, and he wanted me to deal with it. If you can't deal with your flesh, you ain't going nowhere spiritually. If your flesh is dominated, well, when he did that, I hit my knees right there in the snow. I just dropped and I said to the Lord, I said, "Lord, you're exactly right." I said, "You've been dealing with me on this thing and I have just gone on and ignored you and ignored you." Now, you'd understand. Most people would pick out some kind of big sin in life. Oh, this would be the thing. This would be the thing. I'm going to tell you, there's things you think are little and ain't little to God. You best listen. Look, these things have to do with your health and your soundness. See, I'm over here moving a direction. I want to walk in this place. He's trying to keep me well. He's trying to keep me, and I'm over here doing stuff, my best to do something to kill me. Trust in God. Keep me alive while I'm an idiot. He did that when I was a baby. And I hit it, and I stopped. Now, I made a commitment to him. He never told me to do this. But I made a commitment to him because of that. I said, "Lord, I'll never drink another cup of coffee the rest of my life." I said, "I won't drink." And I haven't drank any coffee since. Stopped that day. Some people say, "You need to go through withdrawal." I'm going to tell you what, God talks to you that way, the withdrawal stops in a hurry. You don't even care what your flesh is saying anymore. But I made a commitment that day. I said, "I'll never drink another cup of coffee." Never had another cup of coffee since that time. Strangest thing in the world, I used to drink like crazy. Now, even when I smell it, or if I have something and it's like made like a cake and it'll have coffee taste in it, I don't like it. It's really weird. I mean, I used to love that stuff, man. It's like, how long does something get bad tasted? I don't know. But I made a commitment that day. Now, I ain't telling you got to quit drinking coffee. But I did. To me, coffee was no better than I was when I was a drunk. And I couldn't do without the booze. I couldn't do without the coffee. And I'm sitting doing it. You know, and you're driven. I've been people, and I just tell people this. You say, "I can't get started in the morning without my coffee." Get that out of your mouth and quit saying that nonsense. If you need coffee to get going in the morning, get saved and get Jesus for in the morning. You'd be probably a lot better in the morning without it. Once you got off the caffeine kick, it might do you some good. But I have to have it to get started. I want you. There's nothing the matter with having it. But your whole idea, "I have to have this," is a setting yourself to shortening your life and shortening your health because of your words. You don't want to get there. Now, we all have to eat things and do stuff. You know, there's things you can do. There's things God's interest in your health. Let me say this, because, you know, today there's extremes, and there's extremes on both sides, you know. People, when it comes to health, there's people over in extremes and the sides, you know, and they're so, my words, everything you have to eat has to be just so. I'm going to tell you get into that, you're going to be no better than a drunk or alcoholic. You're just going to be the same thing. You're going to be trying to live a life by the natural. And on the other side, there's people, they just do any old thing. There's a balance to everything, and everything comes to the center, and there's a balance concerning things. I don't sit and worry about food. I mean, people to me today spend too much time on the food thing. I mean, trying to figure things out and do stuff is just too much time spent on it. I ain't got that much time. But you know, sitting around and eating a diet. But God is interested in what you do. Years ago, when I would go out and run all the time, I'd do a lot of running. And the Lord spoke to me one day while I was out running, just as clear, spoke to me really clear and said, you need to take a vitamin with iron in it. And I thought, oh, I must not be getting enough iron or something, or you know, what's going on. I never thought anything about it. I remember I said to Wanda, I told her, I said, you know, I was out running. The Lord said I need to take a vitamin with iron. So I went and got a vitamin with iron in it and started taking a vitamin with iron, which I didn't realize later on. I found this because in those days and that stuff, I would be, you know, would run. And sometimes I would run maybe 10 miles a day. I used to go out and do a lot of long. I really liked running, and I used to go out to me to run 10 miles. It was not something tedious to do. I used to like to do that. But anyway, the Lord spoke to me, you know, about that. And here I found out then from a guy, a Christian friend, who I used to give blood regularly. And I went into that time, the Good Sam, they had a place in there where they used to have, where they have gave blood. And I used to go in and see him. And I went in to give blood. And he had checked my pulse, because when you do a lot of running, your pulse goes down really low. Like, you know, mine would drop down like 30. You know, there's nothing wrong health-wise. It's just your body runs a lot easier when you're sitting at rest. Things just slow down in you. And he said to me, when he checked my pulse, he said, you run? And I said, yeah. I said, I run a lot. And then he turned right around and said to me, do you take a vitamin with iron in it? And I said, that's interesting, because I said, a couple months ago, the Lord spoke to me about that. I said, I wonder what that was all about. He said, when you do a lot of running, he said, when you run, like, and he said, I can tell you do a lot of running. He said, when you run, he said, your blood's flowing through your body really fast. And he said, your red blood cells, he said, because of pumping through your body fast, he said, some of them get damaged. He said, they sort of colliding into each other and stuff, and you're doing it. And he said, if you take extra iron, he said, it's no problem. He said, they recover, everything's fine. So God was interested. I mean, see, said some people think, well, you're just healing. See, this is why you got to be led by the Spirit. You need to learn to listen to God. Because there's some things you're going to have to do from a natural standpoint to deal with. Now, I couldn't turn around. If I wouldn't have listened to that, I could have ended up having a problem, but it would have been my problem. I could say I wanted healing. Well, I wasn't getting healing. Do you understand that? There's something that I needed to do. And he told me what I need to do over time. The Lord told me sometimes on natural things, something I could do. You know, it's just like from the standpoint. I knew I was on a collision course with the coffee thing. I was on a collision course. Fred Price's wife ended up with liver cancer over her drinking coffee and eating certain types of food. Now, they were people who understood faith, like, you know, they understood faith and how it works. She came down with liver cancer. And so Fred said, we were believing God and getting nowhere. And he said, I came to this conclusion. He said, number one, he said, the devil cannot just have access to us anytime he wants to. And if my wife has liver cancer, what's wrong? What do we need to know? And he said, we were standing in faith and believing and nothing's changing. And he said, we began to change what we pray. We started looking at God. God, what's wrong? What's happened here? Why is this happening? It wasn't till things started to change. See, that's why some people never get healed. They just run into, I'm believing God, and they're doing things that are killing them. Well, the Lord spoke to her and him and said, you have a doctor in your church who's a cancer specialist. You go to him and do whatever he tells you to do. Well, Fred talked about this. Fred said, we learned after going through this experience, if God would have instantly healed my wife, she would have ended up with cancer again because of what she was doing. What she was doing is this: she never drank any other liquids besides coffee. That was her liquid. She just drank coffee all the time. And she never ate any foods that weren't basically, you know, cooked. Like, she never ate like a salad, hardly ate many, not a whole lot of different vegetables, only certain vegetables she ate. She had a terrible diet. She was killing her liver. What God wanted her to do is to do something to help her liver. See, you can't abuse your body and believe for healing. People do that all the time. They're abusing their body and then believing for healing. She was abusing her body, and she said to the doctor, she did everything the doctor said. She had even, she went through chemotherapy and stuff and things like that, but she talked about how God, you know, blessed her through that thing. She didn't get sick and none of that kind of stuff, how she went through, but she was ended up totally healed. Now, she, this is many years past. She's just as well, but she said, God had to get a hold of me to change what I was doing to my body. He said, she was killing herself. Many people are killing themselves today believing for healing and don't wonder why it don't change. They don't listen to nothing. They're killing themselves. You know, I love ice cream, but you can't eat ice cream all the time. You know? I don't know, we think we'll be able to do that when we get to heaven? Think we have ice cream? I don't know. No, no. But see, there's things that we just got to get some common sense about. It just seems like people don't have any sense. They get over on the extreme side. And what they do is people aren't listening to their inner man. You got to listen to your inner man. You know, you just, you know, when you're young, when I was a kid, you know, you could sit around and eat your junk all the time. But you get older, it starts showing up in your life. That's why some people, they have abused their body over years of time and have not done what's right. And now they're sitting in a situation, they're saying, God, fix me. Well, they're going to have to make some changes. He could restore them, but they're going to have to make some changes about some things. You can't abuse your body and, you know. But then you don't want to go over on the side. You know, I worked with a lady and she was the Shackley vitamin queen. Her Shackley, hey, she's born again, spirit-filled church, the whole nine yards. But all she talked was Shackley, and she's taken her Shackley, and her Shackley was her savior. She came down with cancer and died. Wow, she never developed faith in God. Shackley was going to save her. She was going to live on because she took her Shackley vitamins. And there was a guy called the devil, and he don't take Shackley. He's not interested in Shackley. And he came and attacked her because she opened the door by no faith in God. And faith, and all she preached was Shackley. And her gospel was destroyed. It's good preaching, folks. This is good preaching. That's why I don't care if I'm eating, you know, range-free chicken with no kind of antibiotics in it. It don't matter. I pray the same prayer. I thank God for it. Can I say He blesses my bread and water and takes sickness away from me? I have no faith in that chicken. Because I can't. I didn't put the label on that package. I don't know what was in that thing. And if you're dumb enough to think you went to the store and they're doing everything it says on the wrapper, you're dumber than a stick. We're preaching good now. So you get over here meddling and rebuking and stuff. Why? You can't. It's what men do. Maybe they're right, maybe they're not. But I know this. If I set myself to do right as far as I know to do in that stuff, I can walk in faith with God and God will take care of me. And it's proven out over the years. It's coming to that place of walking in the middle of the road of it. Understanding there's things you can do natural that are good for you. But even the vitamin, about vitamin, they said there's iron in. I have to tell you, I don't know if there's iron in it or not. They find this all the time. They do research on vitamins and medicines and find out if stuff ain't in them, what they say. So, and stuff in them that you wish wasn't in them. That's where you walk by faith and you need your faith because you don't know all that's going around you and you trust yourself to God. So you learn how to walk by faith. You learn how to trust God. Because you can't walk, you can't live that life of worrying all the time about what you're eating and what you're doing. You can't do that. You can't live in that place. You don't want to go there. We want to live free of these things. So come to the middle of the road. And if you listen to the Holy Spirit, He'll take you there. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, He'll take you there. You know, there's a lot of things that are good. I mean, I think it's wonderful today that, you know, that they're doing a lot of more what they call organic farming and all that kind of stuff. I never, you know, I don't think anybody here says, man, I want some pesticide in my food. Come on. Come on. Give me some pesticide. I want to. killer now. Boy, I woke up this morning and just said, I'm just hungry for some weed killer. I tell you. I got a taste for weed killer this morning. It's good they're doing it. But then on the other hand, they're the other side of it. We need to understand this. Can you imagine what the most of the world, this nation, the United States feeds a lot of countries, a lot of people worldwide. We produce a whole lot of food other than what we eat. We have agriculture in our country. My words, that countries in this world, they have loads of them. I mean, the Soviet Union, those places, they aren't even close in the ballpark of where we are in our production of food. There's one thing about it. I would rather have some food to eat than no food to eat. I don't know what about, people sit around, they talk these things. There's one thing is, I've been in countries and I see what the way people are living and what's going on. And health food, or what we call, ain't their answer. They need food. So see, you can get into extremes on things, and we need to watch ourselves in those areas and that stuff. Because these things become important. I watch diet come into the churches. I watch good churches now that are carnal. There were good churches because now diets and everything else are, well, these are the things. You have to eat certain ways and do certain things to be a good Christian, and you gotta stop that. Gotta stop that stuff. We can't do those kinds of things to people. We gotta get where we preach the gospel, the good news. That's why we look at the scripture. And we look at what the scripture says, and you feed yourself on the word. You continually do that, folks. Continually. Read what the Bible says. That's what changed my life. I listened to Kenneth Hagin, and I'd sit down and go read the scriptures, and I'd put them in it. I'd read there from Exodus, where God said he'd bless their bread and water and take sickness away from the midst of them. I mean, I quoted that thing to me so many times, I'd go over those scriptures and go over them. I'd go over the 91st Psalm, and I'd go through and read down through this, and he'll satisfy me with long life and show me his salvation. Sickness ain't coming near me. It come in my house. Pestilence don't come to my place. See, I would start saying those things. I would do those things over and over. See, there are certain things, if you don't get them into you, God ain't going to talk to you about stuff. God can't lead you to the middle of the road without you being in the scriptures to bring you to the middle of the road. It's through the scriptures he started teaching me about my life and about me, of what I needed and what I had to have. See, what God speaks to you or shows you, other than if it's against scripture, I ain't got any place to say it. That's between you and God. What God tells you to do, you do it. It's just like, that's the thing with coffee. Never tell people not to drink coffee. You can drink coffee. Just don't be a coffeeholic. Just don't be that. It's going to cost you. It's going to do something. God didn't tell me because he just didn't want Ed to have coffee. He spoke because the extreme in anything like that. Kenneth Hagin said when he was young, he said he had got over into things of Coca-Cola, had to have a Coke all the time. And he said God dealt with him on it. He said, I'm not, he got the point. He said, I haven't had a Coca-Cola. He said, in all these years, he said, since I was young, because he had made a dedication. Because he said, I saw myself, I was addicted to having Coca-Colas. And he said, I got myself and said, I ain't going to ever have a Coke again. He said, never had one since. Because he got over there. Things affect people. We need to know that. See, there's a lot of things that we don't look at the church as being a problem. But they're problems. Because they affect our spiritual development. God couldn't get a hold of me about coffee. Do you think he's going to be able to get a hold of me about anything important? we need to be able to let him talk to us in these areas and dealing with stuff, because he wants to help us and take us further. He's not trying to restrict your life. I have not missed a thing because I haven't had a cup of coffee. I haven't missed nothing. I just often wonder, what if I'd have kept it up? What was going to happen? What was I going to do in my disobedience that was going to eventually open the door for the devil to do something? Was it going to shorten my life? See, we need to understand these things. See, we think this stuff is trivia and everything. God is trying to move us over to the area of long life, health, soundness, wholeness. That's what he wants us to go to. He wants us to listen to these things. He don't want you dominated by nothing. He don't want you dominated by anything. Hallelujah. Now, we all have to eat. You know, we just can't say, well, we ain't going to eat anymore. Well, we'll get the coffin ready. Well, it won't take long and we'll be putting you in a box. So we eat, we do things. Just don't get into extremes. Just don't be an extremist. Don't get out there. Everybody has to follow what you're doing. We don't have to follow what you're doing. You listen to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God knows about your body. He knows about what's going into it. God's one of the best doctors. People say about, you know, God being a doctor and Jesus is my doctor. And oftentimes when I hear people say that, I think, I wish you'd listen to him sometime, your doctor. He'd tell you a bunch of wonderful good things. When God took me over in the areas of health and began to teach me on healing, he did a lot of things of teaching me about my body and what I needed to do for me. See, he wants to be personal with you about you and your life and your health. He started teaching me. It's like the revelation with, I got over looking at some things. They're teaching longevity, and he showed me Caleb. So he taught me down the road how, now understand, he gave me this revelation back when I was in my, it was just in my early 40s. He gave me that revelation to show me is down the road what I got to start doing with my life and how I had to start talking and making a plan for my future. It's a shame. So many people have never heard any of these teachings and none of this stuff. And they've been making a wrong plan concerning their future the whole time. They've been looking and saying what the world says and does. You got to learn that God will talk to you and tell you about what you need to do and planning for your future. It's not taught. Most people, healing is only the thing you need at the present time when you ain't feeling good. I'm sorry. To me, divine health is not that. Divine healing is not that. Divine healing is about looking the future. It's about my health in the future. See, and if you don't get over any areas and understand that divine healing, you'll always be in this thing of sick and then trying to get better, sick, trying to get better, sick, trying to get better. I found out. I started planning down the road, and you know what? I wouldn't have a bunch of stuff in between here and there. There wouldn't be a bunch of things going on because I had set myself. And I want you to do that. You need to understand the importance of that. When I'm teaching here and saying to you here, this isn't something you listen to this Sunday and walk away from it. Let me sit down and go through it. Look at it. Let God talk to you. Go to God and ask him, Lord, what do I need to do? Where am I at in this? What do I need concerning this thing? I want my life to be well. I want to, you know, it's like myself, you know, when Braden's getting older and playing, and I still want to go out in the yard and chase around with him. I'm going to tell you, you got to run faster to stay up with that boy now. You know, he goes faster, and he wants pawpaw. We go down the beach, and it's pawpaw on the beach. He wants to play with pawpaw all the time. You know, the rest of them, he'll do a little bit, but when it comes to playing, it's pawpaw. And I ain't going to be some old guy running around with my walker, you know. Now, don't bother me, son. I want to sit over here. I don't want to be like the other grandparents. I want to play with my grandkids. We still go out and we got the squirt guns out and run around and soak each other. Yeah, and those Nerf guns. I bought Nerf guns and we shoot Nerf guns and chase each other. We have fun. We have a good time. Man, I bought a Nerf gun. It's a chain gun. It's electric, man. You load that thing up and do-do-do-do-do-do. And it's fun. We play. I ain't some old man. I said, well, that's for the kids. That's me. That's me. One of the kids. We're chasing around doing that. Yeah, you get the squirt guns. They're soaking each other. Chase her. Chase Meemaw around. Squirt her. Oh, she hates when the water's cold. See, you got to do these things. I am not going to go sit down and go do something else. I'm going to be chasing around. When I'm in my 70s, I'm going to be chasing around. My grandson is going to, he ain't going to remember grandpa, some old guy sitting in a chair, you know, over there, you know, gumming something. I want to have fun with my grandkids. I want my grandkids. I want to have fun. I want to have fun with them. I don't want to be this old guy. You know, I grew up around a lot of that as people got older. Then they separated themselves from the kids. And then when they got old, they wanted the kids to visit them when they never planned any time with the kids. And they used to say, I don't understand all that I did for them. You know how many times I've said to people in nursing homes, I said, what did you do for your kids? What were you doing? Were you playing with your kids? Well, no, I was busy. I was providing. I was doing. Well, you were ignoring them, and now they're ignoring you because now they're busy. So you reap what you sowed. You reap what you sowed. Don't do that, folks. See, I sow into my grandson because there's things I want to reap. I sow things concerning into our kids. We sow it because of what we want to reap. I watch people as they get older. They plan on, you know, they're just, you know, the whole world's supposed to come to me while I sit here in my rocker. I sit here in my comfort, and everybody's supposed to come to me and do it. You don't reap what you sow. I'm a leader. I'm going to lead my grandson. Hallelujah. People get old. Well, I don't want the kids around anymore. Move into those places where the kids can't come to, you know, and if they come, they have to leave right away. I don't want to live with them dead people. I ain't got time for that stuff. I want a neighborhood with their kids. There's some life, and you have to put up with those stupid adults sitting around thinking they're smart. Kids ain't near as much problem as the adults are. Why? You can never look, folks. This, I know it's going a long step, but we need to get this stuff. You can't go away from life. You understand about life? Understand this: children bring life that adults don't. If adults don't watch it, you'll lose it. Kids are what keeps you doing it. It keeps you over into that place of life. Like, I'm around Braden many times, I just stop and it makes me laugh because I think about when I was a kid and I see him doing stuff and I think about, my God, I've lost that. I love, like, your kids' imaginations. Adults get into their little box and then they stick the box on their head and then they wear the box around on their head. They can't see a thing. They're dumb as a stick and they walk around and they can see about this far. And this is where my life is. And I always love it because I think, Braden sits down in his imagination. I think, my words, makes me, I look and say, man, you know, we want to keep that back where we can imagine, where we can dream. If you can't imagine or dream, you're going to have very little faith. God said he'd do above, exceedingly above what you imagine or think. The church has done nothing. As I grew up as a kid, they robbed you of imagination. They told you not to have any. Don't have a dream. Don't do it. No, no. You keep yourself within these little bounds. Don't expect anything too great. God designed you to dream. God designed you to think far beyond where you are and what you are. That's God's plan. Think about that today. Every one of you right here now, and this is the Holy Ghost talking. This is the Holy Spirit. Every one of you right now, there's things that you have dreamt about in your life, and there's things that come to your imagination, things you have dreamed of doing and being about. And they've only stayed as dreams. Well, God will do exceedingly abundantly above what you imagine or think. Those things, many times, those are things within us. Or in us to be, or a place, it's where with our inner man is trying to go to. It's trying to move to that. It comes out of us on the inside, and we think about these things, and we think about them, and sometimes they get out there and think, well, that's just too far. Is it? Is that too much? See, then we limit ourselves. What we do is we limit our faith. No, my faith can only go this, we can only go this far. You see, your faith can only grow as far as you'll let it grow. If your dreams out there, you say it's too much, that can only be a dream. It'll always stay a dream. You don't want it to stop there. It's how you can say, how far can God take you? Like when the Lord said to me about finances, he said, how far you want to go? He said, this is up to you. What's my dream? How can I see myself? What am I imagining of how far I can go? I will never step my faith out any further than my imagination will take me. If I don't step with that imagination, he said, it's however far you want to go with it. He said, it doesn't have to do with me. This has to do with you. So God says, well, it's out there wherever you want it. How big do you want to go? Think about that today. How far do you want to go? You're not weird that you dream. You would be weird that you didn't. This is what happens to many people as they get older. They quit dreaming. I love it because Braden brought a lot of dream back to me. I listen to him and he's dreaming all the time. He sees things and he looks at it so simplistically. He don't let get all crowded by us adults thinking about all the technicalities. You know, this is hilarious. Listening to him, he talked about he was going to build a plane. I guess it was a little girl or something, it was a friend of his, they're going to build a plane. And they're going to fly this plane, they're going to China. They were talking about in school, they're going to build a plane, they're going to fly to China. And he said, when I get to China, we're going to parachute out. I said, you got to parachute out? Now listen to this. This is a kid. I said, what are you going to parachute out for? He said, I don't know how to land a plane. I love it. Adult would never say something like that. Somebody might laugh at them. I thought it was one of the most awesome things. He didn't care what anybody thought. He knew what his limitations and his dream could do, but I'm going to take my dream as far as I can, and I'm going to China, and I'll parachute out. I want to go with him. I want to go with him. I want to parachute out with him. I don't want to get into this little box. I came out of the box religion. I ain't ever going back. God put dreams in us. And hallelujah. In these last days, we're going to see the fulfillment of dreams. We're going to see, I'm going to see the fulfillment of things that I've dreamed. And I'm going to see the fulfillment of them. God will bring them to pass. Let's stand to our feet. I know I went long. But I tell you, we're going a long way, folks. You're going a long way. We're going places. Ah, he's going to take us further than we can dream, than we can imagine or think. He's going to take us further. That's what he's going to do. Hallelujah. Oh, so let's not limit. Don't limit yourself today. Don't limit yourself concerning your life. Don't limit yourself concerning your age of what God can do through you. You haven't passed a place in your life. You haven't gone there unless you set the place where, well, you know, can he use me any more? Am I up in age more? Or not? Gee, do I have time to do this? When I was in Bible school, we had people came to Bible school in their 70s and left Bible school and went out and preached to almost 90. And most people, they would never follow that dream, but yet they had that dream. Some of them, they knew that God had called them years before, but they finally got in the will of God and they just went and did it. And God used them. They got into the things that God wanted them to do, was always in their heart to do, and they finally, they went and did it. And they did it in what people call old age. They became the most fruitful for God in their old age. That's what I want to be. I want to have that in me, you know. God says, go to school when you're 70. Well, then you go to school when you're 70. You know, if that's what you need to do, you just go do it and quit playing these stupid games. Around here, when all you're old, you get your chair out, go sit down somewhere and meet at McDonald's for coffee every morning and talk about how bad things are. You're supposed to go there and eat hamburgers and play in the playground if they have one. That's what you do there. That's what those people would be better off doing if they went to the playground. They need to crawl through those tunnels. They're doing some good. Hallelujah. You think I'm kidding? Braden had me going through the tunnels. I'm going to tell you this. You got to do those things. Hallelujah. Sitting around doing all that other nonsense. Glory to God. Let's let God's life work in us. Amen. Hallelujah. He said he's starting something today, and he sure is. God's getting plain. Plain about talk. Father, I want to thank you. Lord God, you're so gracious and have been so kind and merciful. Lord God, there's so much that, Lord God, the church world has let go by. But your voice is still calling out. Wisdom still calls out in the streets. It don't stop. The wisdom just keeps coming out and it's calling out. And Lord God, I want to thank you for keep calling out. I am so grateful, Lord God,
that you just keep speaking life out here, that life just keeps being. Lord, I thank you today. There's life has fallen upon the ears of each one today. Life in their spirit, Lord God. You have planned such good for them. You have planned such wonderful things, Lord God. Lord God, there's things in them of dreams, Lord God. Things to do. And Lord God, I pray, Lord God, today we breathe life on those dreams. We breathe life, Lord God, on those things that are in them, Lord God. Lord, it doesn't matter what the place they've come to at this point in their life. Lord God, maybe things and mistakes, things that have happened. But Lord God, I want to thank you today. Today, the dream can be revived. The dream can be picked up today, Lord God. Lord God, I want to thank you. And I just pray today, Lord God, that there's not a quitter in this place. That nobody's quitting. Nobody's stopping. We're expecting more and going further, Lord God. We're wanting more. Lord God, we want to touch into more of your kingdom. We want to touch into more of your great wisdom and understanding. Lord God, we want to walk in that place of life. Because, Lord, my great desire, Father, is to impart that life to others. To help others achieve, to help others go further, Lord God. To help others live longer and live healthier, Lord God. To fulfill your plans and your purposes, Lord God. Where your hand can be upon them. Where you can send them whenever you want to, Lord God. Lord God, that they'll have more than enough money. They won't be held back, Lord God. Lord, because the limitations of the world, hallelujah. Lord God, they'll walk forth in the glory of God with the God who supplies all of their need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord God, they'll walk in forth. Full and overflowing in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that there's ones right here, Lord God, that are just entering into one of the most fruitful times of their life from the greatest points. You've brought them, Lord God, for these days and these times, Lord God, and you've brought them here and they're stepping into it. And I thank you there's no limitation, Lord God. There's not a limitation on them. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, we stand against the devil in the name of Jesus. Devil, you shut your mouth against the church of Jesus Christ. You quit speaking words to the minds of them on limitation, for there is none, for God has not limited them. And I bind your mouth against them in the name of Jesus Christ. There's ones that Satan has intimidated you. He is keeping you looking at your limitations. God's not looking at your limitations. He's looking for His grace that's available to you to cause you to walk exactly where you want to go and fulfill the dream of your heart. Throw aside those voices. Throw aside those ones that have put limitations and those thoughts of your weaknesses and what people have said in the past or what they've spoken in the past concerning you. For God has spoken and His words have gone forth from the beginning. And His words have gone forth and declared concerning His people of the plan and purpose that He's given them and the fulfillment of that. And man has said differently, don't listen to those voices. Hallelujah. They may have said your limited ability even to learn. God has put no limit on your ability to learn. Hallelujah. He's not made you frail. He's not made you weak, but He's made you strong. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Speak of the strength of God that's in you. Speak of what God is working in you and not what man have said. Not what your body keeps saying. Speak against your body and you tell it to come in line with the strength of God. Hallelujah. For the weak He has made strong. For you have the strength of the Lord, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in you, quickening and making alive your mortal bodies in Jesus' name. Your mortal bodies have the life of God in it today, working, hallelujah, working in you today. Oh, and it will bring clarity of mind and clarity of thought, hallelujah. That Spirit that works in you, that Spirit will work mightily if you will yield to it. And you will hear clearly what God is showing you to do and telling you to do, and you'll see the great benefit of it. And what a blessing it's going to be to you. Hallelujah. As you walk in it and yield to it, He'll take you there. He's taking you there. Oh, yes, yes. He's taking you to that place that you've longed to walk in. You've longed to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Full and overflowing. That's His plan. Full and overflowing. Because we need that to take it to the world. Take it to the world. Full and overflowing with the grace and mercy of God. Full to overflowing. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. That life flows through us. Oh, like a river. Hallelujah. Healing flows through us like a river. Health is the natural thing to the church, and it's a natural river that flows to others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Healing is not something to be had, a nice sideline. Healing is something that God has given to you to flow through you. Hallelujah. To benefit you and then benefit others. Hallelujah. With life and health in the name of Jesus. For in these last days, hallelujah, healing will flow like a river and like a great river. Oh, a mighty river that will flow at such a speed that it will astound the minds of men. It will flow forth and healing will come through people. It just is speaking a word, as people will sometimes even say one or two words, and healing will come and deliverance will come to people, and God's power is going to be revealed. Oh, and it will shock many. It will shock many. It will seem so easy that the power of God will flow. Yes, because God has planned it for this day and time. So get in the flow. Hallelujah. You're not going to stand on the bank of the river and be in the flow. You must go out into the river and walk out into the river and you flow. Oh, yes. And you'll be like that healing river. You'll be just like it. Hallelujah. You'll just be that flow along. You'll not be a dam stopping along things along the way. You'll be the flow of health and soundness, just as your master was when he walked in the earth. He was a river of healing. He was a river, hallelujah, of the power of God that flowed and delivered man. And so shall it be in the church, says the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Breta Kishnina. Brekatishnina kayata takashia, brokatashni bive fregedina namakoyanto, bredegishlele frede goshilia tasasaka, bron matkele aparatishile bronama faya, brand golenda golagadeshlia tatkalagadeshili koteshle brota fasisa, bronda go de goshisha laka yalakiashi. Huh. Yes, for there's ones here that I have put vision into you many years ago. Many years ago. Yes. And you thought, yes, that looks good, that sounds good, but that can't be for me. No, that dream or that vision, that just must be mine. It must be what I have seen, and it must be, yes, but that wouldn't be for me. And the Lord said, oh, yes, yes, I put a vision in you, I put dream in you, and it's beyond your imagination. It was beyond as man thinks. It's based on what your dream was. You measured it according to the limitations of man and the knowledge of men. But the Lord says this today, look back at that dream again. Look back at that place. Look back. What can I see in that place? What can I do? What can God do? Can God restore that place to me? Can God bring me to that place again? And I say to you, I can bring that place to you. I can bring it to you if you will turn and walk for it. For I was showing you those things. It wasn't for that time. It was for a future. And these days of future are coming. These days are coming close at hand to the fulfillment of those things. And I'm speaking to you this day to get you lined up to come into place to fulfill those things. For these are the days and time of the fulfillment of all things. For the time is very short. And I will bring to pass the end time things, and the church will be gathered together to me. Yes, and then their job will be done here till all the rest is fulfilled. And so I say, come forward in that thing, walk forward, look again at that vision and talk to me and ask me, and I will show you your place and your time in it. Yes, and your dreams will be fulfilled, says the Lord. Amen. Your dreams will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.